It's Daf Yudalad again. I apologize, my voice is really, I must have seriously damaged it somehow. So the Gemara says around 8 lines down, V'hai asher la'am. So we said before that ha'am, la'am, is coming to exclude Kohanim, that Kohanim don't get any kapara. So l'halchu da'as, is it really coming to teach me to exclude Kohanim? Ha'mi barilates needed to teach me the following, D'kama rachmana mida'am leheve ha'hu v'meis adas b'nei Yisrael nafka. So the Gemara says, really, I'm sorry, the word ha'am is needed to teach me that it has to come mid'am lave, that the am has to pay for it. It has to come from the communal funds, and nothing to do with teaching me that the Kohanim are not included in the kapara. So the Gemara says, no, ha'humi v'me'es adas b'nei Yisrael nafka. The words me'es adas b'nei Yisrael tells me that the b'nei Yisrael have to pay for the karbanos. So therefore, the word asher la'am is extra coming to teach me that only the am gets kapara through the exclusion of the Kohanim. So the Gemara then says, "V'hai asher lo l'hachi hu da'asa." We learned yesterday, "asher lo" means that only the Kohen Gadol gets kapara. But we said that the other Kohanim don't necessarily get kapara. So the Gemara says, "Hai asher lo l'hachi hu da'asa," is really coming to teach me to exclude me everyone else. Hai mi barle, the word "asher lo" is teaching me something different. L'cha d'tanya, the Brisa tells me, "Mishal lo hu mevi, v'eino mevi mishal tzibur," that he has to bring, the Kohen Gadol has to bring from his own funds the par, and it can't come from the communal fund, it doesn't come from the tzibur. So Shalo is teaching me that he brings it, and nothing to do with who's getting the kapara, is talking about who is the one paying for it. So Gemara says, Yachal lo yavi mishal tzibur, shein at tzibur miskaprim bo. So you might think this tzibur shouldn't have to pay for it because they're not getting kapara. Aval yavi mishal achiv ha-kohanim, mishal achiv ha-kohanim miskaprim bo. But maybe the other kohanim should have to pay for it, not only the kohen gadol, because the other kohanim are in fact getting kapara from this. Tamaloma asher lo, it says a second time asher lo, that dafka, the kohen gadol has to pay for it. Even though other kohanim are getting kapara, the other kohanim don't pay for it. So then the Gemara says, Yachal lo yavi. One might think that lichachila, the other kohanim are not supposed to pay for the cow. But the im hevi kasher, but let's say they did pay for the cow, it would still be a good carbon. Tamalomar shuv, it says a third time asher lo. So it says asher lo 3 times to teach us that it only comes from the funds of the kohen gadol, no one else pays for it. So akasav shana, love akasav la'akev. So we have the concept that the pasuk repeats itself asher lo 2 times. Once it repeats it 2 times, it comes to tell me that only the kohen gadol could bring it, no one else could bring it. So we see from all this, though, the word asher lo comes to tell me who pays for it has nothing to do with who the kapara is being provided for. So how could we say before yesterday's daf asher lo is telling me that only the kohanim and not the am? So the Gemara says we're learning the following halacha. Tana hachi kakashle. The question wasn't whether we're learning asher lo as the source that only kohanim are getting kapara, not the tzibur. Asher lo is, the question was as follows. Maishna b'd'am. Why do we say when the word am was used, b'd'lo mechaper, why do we say kohanim were excluded from the word am? D'lo kamachasi be'mamona. Because the kohanim weren't paying for it. It came from the tzibur funds. So that's why the kohanim were excluded. So d'chsiv asher l'am. B'd'aron ami lo kachasi be'mamona. So when it comes to the parsha Aaron, the kohanim aren't losing money either. They're not paying for it. Because so that's the question was never a question really of the psukim of asher la'am versus asher lo, of learning the psukim. The question was, just like the kohanim are excluded from the tzibur, the sayer's carbon, because they're not losing any money, so too the kohanim should be excluded from the aron's carbon because they're not paying for it either. So the Gemara says, you're right, misvar, that makes sense, but since in the end of the day, kamar kulan kurin beso, since in the end of the day, that base iron includes the entire bias, so from that we could learn that it's nothing to do with losing money, has to do completely with the pasuk base iron. Rif asks the following question. He wants to know, why do you need the shina lavakasva, the pasuk repeats itself over, to exclude that asher lo is coming to teach me that only the kohen gadol pays for it. We have a pasuk that says chuka. In Parshas Achrei Moses says chuka to tell me that anything in Yom Kippurim is mi'akev. So if let's say you don't bring shnei seirim, the whole kapara is thrown out the window. So too, it says asher lo. It says asher lo with respect to Achrei Moses. So it says chuka. Chuka tells me anything in Yom Kippur is ma'akev. So why do you have to have a separate drasha of shana levakasav to tell me that's ma'akev? We're talking about Yom Kippur here. So the Ritva answers that chuka is only mentioned on ikra avodos, on the actual karbanos.
When it comes to where the karbanos come from, paying for the karbanos, that's a separate idea. That's not included in the word chukah, and therefore you need shana levakasav to tell me that even the payment of the karban of Yom Kippur is also me'akev. Now, the Mishnah Melech points out that the Rambam leaves this out entirely. He says that the Kohen Gadol has to pay for the par, but he doesn't say if he doesn't pay for it, it's la'akev. He says if it comes from the communal funds, it's actually a good par. So he wants to know why the Rambam leaves it out. So the Ohel David says that there's another Gemara in Chulin that says Asher Lo teaches me something different. Asher Lo tells me that the Kohen Gadol could only use his own Chulin money. He can't use his Meiser funds to pay for the par. And that's what the Drush is available for. And it's not telling me that there's an extra layer of Likuva because it's used for a different Pasuk. So therefore, Lemaisa, the Rambam Paskins, it's not Likuva if the money comes from elsewhere. Okay, look at the, let's go finish the parak now. The Gemara says, Bishma, Rabbi Shimon, this all makes sense to Rabbi Shimon. Remember, Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah said that the Kohanim are not included in the Sar Lazazil of the Yisrael. They have to get a kapara for Shar Veros from other Karbanos. So it makes sense to Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Dichsiv Tre Viduyin V'damapar. It says Viduy twice in the Pasuk. It says, and the Damapar, the sprinkling of the blood, which is also called the kapara. There are three types of kaparas for the Kohen in the Pesukim. He says vidoy twice, the Kohen, and then a third time, the actual Zerika, throwing the blood, is considered a third vidoy. So it makes sense, according to Rabbi Shimon, why Kohanim need three vidoyim. Why? Chad keneged hasar nasa b'fnim. One is to correspond to the nasa b'fnim, the sar l'ashem, which is for Yisrael, so one vidoy for Kohanim. The second vidoy of the Kohen is keneged sar nasa b'chutz, which is for nasa b'chutz is for the Yisrael, so you need a corresponding vidoy for the Kohanim. And the third one is chad nasa, the chad nasa b'chutz was the musaf rather. And chad keneged sar mishaleach, the third vidoy is corresponding to the sar nasa mishaleach, see mishaleach, the sar lazazel. So we have three goats for the see Israel, so we have three viduyim of the par for the Kohen. That all makes sense. Elal Rabbi Yehuda, tre viduyim v'dama par lamali. According to Yehuda, where he thinks that Kohanim get kapara with Sar Lazazel along with Yisraelim, so then you don't need a third kapara for the Kohanim. So tre viduyim v'dama par lamali. So we said bechad viduy v'damo sagya. It would have been enough to have one viduy, and the dama par as a second viduy, that would have been sufficient. Echelo v'echelo beisa. So Gemara answer is no. You need one for the Kohen Gadol himself. Number two is for beiso. And the Kedetanya, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, tachaya midas hadin, no heges, mutav yavo zakai v'chaper l'chayiv, v'yavachai v'chaper l'chayiv. The klal is that better for the person to get kapara on his own before offering before representing everyone else. So what's the extra vidoy? That the Kohen Gadol first needs a vidoy for himself. He needs to be clean of any sin. After that, then you do for the rest of the beiso, the rest of the Kohanim, and then for the third one is for one is for the Tumas Mikash V'Kedashav, one is for the Shara Veros. That's the need for the third one. The Kohen Gadol has his own separate kapara. Look what Rashi says here. Rashi says, Yavo Zakai V'Chaper L'Chayiv, Lefikach Misvade Vido Rishon, Alav. He first says the first vidoy, Val Beiso. So they point out here for Rashi, La'acher Shinase Zakai Bevidoy Misvade Alav Val Achiv Uli Olam Tarvayu Chad Kaparaninu. So when Rashi says Alav Val Beiso, when he says that the first vidoy is himself and Beiso, does Beiso mean his wife, Beiso Zuishtu, or does Beiso mean his immediate family? That's a big machlokas, and we showed him how to understand Beiso, what the first vidoy is on. But either way, we see from here that a person should first come clean before representing anyone else. So this actually becomes a very important klal when it comes to kaparos, the post can talk about. When you're doing kaparos for your family, should you first do kapara for yourself and then do for everyone else? First, the person mutav shiuzakai, and then only afterwards represent everyone else. So if Yaakov Emden Paskin, when you do kaparos, you should do kaparos for yourself first, and only afterwards can you represent your family. A similar shaila comes up with Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim, so some people are very makbid to only go last. They should go last because they want everyone else to be Zakai so they can represent them. So is it better for you to go last or for you to be first and represent everyone else? That's a discussion that's found in the poskim. Okay.
And then someone else always has to do something wrong.
Then say it again?
Someone else will always have to do something wrong.
Correct.
I think it's a higher level to take them.
take the hit, sacrifice. Yeah. Okay.
Ego.
All right. Purist. Okay. Hajar lach shua shayim. Finish the parak. Fine. Sorry. No, it's fine. I love the mussar. Okay. I'll stop doing it. I'm sorry. Okay. The Gemara then says the new Mishnah. Yidiyah satuma shtayim shein arba. There are two that are four types of yidiyah satuma. Nitba v'yada v'nelma mimanu atuma. If the guy was tameh, he knew about it. Then he forgot about it. And Nelma minhag tumah, he forgot about the tumah. The zach is a kodesh, but he remembered that the kodesh she was eating was kodesh. He just forgot that he was tummy. Nela mimenu hakodesh, or let's say he forgot kodesh. The zach is a tumah. He knew that he was tummy, but he forgot he was eating kodesh. Or nelmu mimenu zeh vizeh. He forgot both that he was tummy and it was kodesh. V'ach is a kodesh. V'liyada, he didn't know about it. And then Misha Achel Yada, after he ate it, he remembered he was tummy. Remembered he was eating kodesh. Harezeb olav yored. That's an example of carbon olav yored. Nitma v'yada v'nelma mimenu tumah. He became tameh, forgot that he was tameh. V'zachas ha-migdash. You remember the base of migdash, and he entered inside. Or nela mimenu migdash. He forgot this was the base of migdash. V'zachas ha-tumah. He remembered that he was tameh. Or nela mimenu zeh v'zeh. He forgot that he was tameh, and also forgot that this was the base of migdash. V'nichlas ha-migdash. He enters in. V'lo yada. Wasn't aware of it. V'mishiyotza. When he left yada, he was became aware that he was tameh, and in the base of migdash, hareze bol v'yored. That's another carbon ol v'yored. Whether you entered into the Beis HaMikdash itself proper or any of the annexes of it, Shein Mosifin Ala Ir, as a side point now, we're going to get into a whole discussion in the Gemara, not today, that you can never add on to the Azara unless Al Ha'ir on the city or Al Hazaras El B'melech V'Navi V'Ur Metumim V'Sanhejin Shalshim V'Echad U'B'Shei Todos U'B'Shir U'Beistin Mahalchin, and Beistin walks around B'Shei Todos, they're holding the carbon Todos Acharin afterwards V'Chol Yisrael Acharim. So that's just a parenthetical point. How would you ever add on to the Zara with all those things, the king, the Navi, everyone else, all that which is listed is what's needed to add on to the Azara. So if a person enters into the Azara, or the Tosefes Azara, would be Bichlal, the Isra of entering into the Beis HaMikdash Tameh. Now they ask a question here, the Tosefes Menachos asks the question, how is it possible that they could add on to the Azara? Doesn't the Pasuk tell us that Kol B'Ksav Yad Hashem Alai Hischil? The entire base of Migdash and the entire map was written by Hashem. The Psav Yad, Miyad Hashem. Hashem wrote it. How do they ever have the ability to add on to the dimensions? I think Yecheska. I think the Pasuk in Yecheska. But the Gemara applies it even to Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. So Tosfos asks, how do you ever have the ability to add on to the dimensions of the base of Migdash? So Tosfos answers that it's when the Chachamim felt that there's a need, so then you're allowed to. They understood that when there's certain needs, you can't just do it for no reason, only if there's a certain tzarech. But the Aris Dvash, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, says no. The Isser, the concept of a Kol B'Ksav Yad, is only that you can't diminish the dimensions, you can't make it smaller. But to add on to the dimensions, that's a wonderful thing, and that there's no limitation. Even without any tzarech, it seems from the Yonasan Eibshitz, you could be Mosif onto the Azara. The Rambam does say that there is a limitation. You could only add on to the dimensions of Har Bayis. Basically, Mikdash could only go so far as the Har Bayis. It can never go beyond the dimensions of Har Bayis. Okay, let's go further now. The Omer Beis. The Mishnah continues now on Omer Beis, saying what? Ha'pnimis nechalas v'achitona nisrefes. When you go around with the two karbanos, the two carbon todos, so again, this is again a side point we'll come back to in the Gemara. The inner carbon is eaten. Since it's inside the walls of Yerushalayim, the outer one, which remains outside the walls, it's considered chutz, so then that would not be eaten, that gets burnt. B'chol shalo nasis b'chol elu, any type of annex that they attempt, which is missing any of these elements we just listed, elu nichnas l'sham ein chayav aleh, does not have a din of kedusha, does not have a din of the azara, and one who enters in will not be considered chayav. Mishnah says, nitma b'azara, let's say while in the Azara he becomes Tameh. And then Venelma, then he forgets, Mimenu Atuma, then he forgets he was Tameh. Vizach has a Mikdash, but he was aware that it was the base of Mikdash. Or Nelam Heimanu Mikdash, or he forgot this was the base of Mikdash. Vizachar Atuma, he remembered that he was Tameh. Or Nelam Mimenu Zeh Vizeh, and he forgot both of them. Now again, this is a different case because he became Tameh in the base of Mikdash. He didn't enter in as Tameh, he became Tameh in the base of Mikdash. So any of these different scenarios, if he's hishtachav, if he does a bowing, or he just waits there, kidei hishtachav, the amount of time, a few seconds that it takes for one to do a bow,
or he exits a longer path when he could have taken a shorter path, all those cases he's chayiv, are carbonol v'yored. But let's say he realizes he's tameh and takes the shorter path out, then he's pater. Gemara says, again, as a side point, there's a lot here mixed together in the Mishnah, Zuhi mitzvah aseh shubim mikdash shein chayavim aleh. There is a Mishnah Horyos we're going to see that when a Bezdin makes a certain hara, that hara, if they make a hara about an aseh, it has to do with the base of mikdash, you're not chayav a carbon in that type of aseh. Again, it's a completely random topic, we're going to get back to it, but the aseh that the Mishnah was talking about was this aseh in the mikdash, that if a person waits about in the base of Mikdash a certain amount of time and they give a certain incorrect hara, that would not result in the karban of bringing for an incorrect hara. But then the Mishnah says, Ezi Mrs. Ase Shibinida Shechayav Maleh. What's an example of a Mitzvah Ase Shibinida that if the Bezdin gives an incorrect hara and you listen to the hara, it will result in a chayiv karbon? So that's what the Mishnah says. Now, again, off topic, Hayam Mishamish ima Taora Amrla Nitmesi, Wilder had Tashmish. She says, I became Nida, who perish miyad chayiv. If he separates immediately, as Rashi explains, where he's still, where's Rashi there? Bikoshi, he's still Bikoshi, and he's getting Hana as he exits, so that he's chayiv for it because there's Hana. But Mipneshi Yatsasi Hana lo kibiyasa, because the exit was Hana, just like Bibiyasa. But if he waits till the Aver's mace, so then there's no Isser Hana. So they give an incorrect Hara about that topic, so then it would result in the Chiyav Karban for an incorrect Hara. Back to our topic now. Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer HaSheretz V'Nela Mimenu. There's a Sheretz, and then he forgets about it. So al helam sheretz chayiv vein chayiv al helam mikdash. So Rebbe Elazar argues. Rebbe Elazar says you only are chayiv if you forget about the tumah sheretz or any other tumah, but if you forget about the mikdash or kodesh, it does not result in the ol of yored. Why? Because the pasuk says hasheretz v'nelam. The nelam is on the sheretz on the tumah, not on the helam of the kodesh or beis hamikdash. Rebbe Akiva Omer v'nelam imenu. He says the opposite. Nelam's really going on Tameh. It's really Alam Tumah Chayiv, Venu Chayiv Alam Mikdash. The same exact idea as Rabbi Eliezer, but just a different drasha. The fact that Nelam is connected to Tumah, not connected to Sheretz, the same idea, that only in Helam Tumah one's Chayiv Olav Yorid, but you're not Chayiv on Helam Mikdash or Kodesh. Then Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Venelam, two times, Shnei Pamim, L'chayiv al ha'elam tumah v'al ha'elam mikdash. She says you're chayiv on both. Since it says nelam twice, it comes to include not only are you chayiv on forgetting that you're tameh, but you're chayiv even on forgetting the base of mikdash. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Papa Labai. Except right now it sounds like there's a different drasha as they're coming to the same point. I think the Gemara does address the nafkamina. Does Rashi say that? Yeah, Rashi says we're going to see what the nafkamina is between the two of them. Not today, though.
And also, the Mishnah sounded like Rabbi Shmuel until this point, right? Because it kept talking about Helam, all types of
Helam. Oh, exactly. The Mishnah before was talking about Stam Rabbi Shmuel, right? Gemara now says, Amar Papa, the Abaye, Shtaim Shein Arba, Shtaim Shein Shein Shavim. They're really two that are six, not two that are four. The Mishnah starts off by saying there are two that are four types of Yediyas HaTumah. But they're really two that are six. What are the two that are six? Yediyas HaTumah, Tchila V'Sof. If you know about the Tumah, you forget about the Tumah. So there are two examples. You know before, you know afterwards. Yediyas HaKodesh, there's Tchila V'Sof. And there's Yediyas Mikdash, that's also Tchila V'Sof. So those are six different cases that we just mentioned. So now according to this reasoning, according to your Svara, Papa, it's really Tamni Havi. There are really eight scenarios. Why? Deha Ika Tumah D'Kodesh and Tumah D'Mikdash. You could split up Tumah, Yediyas Tumas Kodesh, and Yediyas Tumas Mikdash, those are another, breaking it down, those are four. So the Gemara says, V'tuma de Mikdash Tchila V'Sof. So we really have a total of eight. Again, forget the Yediyah of Kodesh, before and after, that's two. Yediyah of Mikdash, that's two. Yediyah of Tumas Kodesh is another two. And Yediyah Tumas Mikdash, Kodesh, I repeat?
So there is two on Achila of
Yediyah.
Yediyah of Hekdesh and two Yediyah of
Kodesh. Right, forgetting this is Kodesh or not, forgetting this is Mikdash, and then forgetting Tumah of Mikdash, forgetting Tumah of Kodesh.
Right.
So there are really four that are eight. Not So like two that are eight, rather. So how come it says two that are four, not even two that are six? It should really be two that are eight. So the Gemara says, "Holo kasha, shame tuma achasi." So it's really, we could lump together tumas. Whether I'm tuma for eating kodesh or I'm tuma for eating for entering the mikdash, it's all tuma. It's about me. The gavra is tamei. Whether I'm doing kodesh or mikdash, I'm a tamei person. So that brings it back down to six. But still, mikol makom, shis havin repapa has a good kasha. It's really two that are six, not two that are four. So the Gemara makes two suggestions here. Amar papa li olam tam ni havi. Really, there are eight. You're right. But arba kamaisa de lo maisin le liad lide carbon lo kachashiv. Arba basraisa de maisin lo lide carbon kachashiv. The four cases which cannot lead to a carbon, we didn't acknowledge. Only the four last scenarios we mention because it brings the carbon. Meaning if a person has a yadi in the beginning, but no yadi at the end, you don't bring a carbon because you don't know you did anything wrong. So we didn't acknowledge those first four types of yadiyos. Only the last four, exactly. Yeah, but that doesn't lead to an olav yored. But the last four, which are the yadiyos besof, that you are aware of avera, so then that would lead to a carbon. So those were the four that were mentioned. That's first pshat. Then the Gemara to Ikad Amri, another pshat is which four are we referring to? Amra Papa Liolam Tam Nihavi. You're right, there are eight scenarios, eight yadiyos. But Arba Kimaisa Dilisnayu Bechola Torah Kula Kachashiv. Arba Basraisa Dilisnayu Bechola Torah Kula Lo Kachashiv. The four that we have, the Kimaisa, the four the beginning ones, which is what? Look at Rashi. Lisnayu Bechola Torah. Sheochel Chalev Beshogig, a person who eats Chalev accidentally. Even the guy never knew, there was never a yadir b'tchila when the guy ate the chaylev. We don't care. And afterwards he became aware that he ate chaylev, so then that person's chayev. You don't ever have to have a yadir b'tchila by every other iser. Only by the olav yorid, this special din here, do you require a yadir b'tchila. So we only acknowledge yadirs b'tchila that are unique to this world. But the four yadiyos after the fact, which is not unique, every carbon requires yadiyah after the fact, that wasn't acknowledged. Those are the four yadiyos that the Mishnah is referring to. Okay. Mar now says, last few lines here, Bayra Papa, Nelmu Mimenu Halachos Tuma Mahu. Let's say the guy forgot, up until now we've been talking about he forgot that he was actually Tumah. But let's say he forgot the halachas of Tumah, a whole other type of forgetfulness. What's the din if he forgets Hilchos Tumah? Hey, what? So we're going to get to that in just a second. Very good. So Ilema, Hechidam Ilem, if you're going to say Dulo Yada, he didn't know about it, Isharit's Tame, Itzardeya Tame, whether or not a Sharit is Tame or whether the frog is Tame, he wasn't sure. So Zil Karbe Ravu, that's Zil Karbe Rav, that's something that every single person knows. Everyone learned that in school. So that's a Pasha Din, that doesn't exist. A person definitely knew that much. So let's look at Rashi and Tosis just for a second, how to define Zil Karbe Rav. Rashi says eight narrow lines up, Zil Karbe Ravu, Tinokel Shabes Rabban, Karin, Hacholad V'Achbar V'Atzav. They read Psukim. We expect everyone to go through school and know Psukim by heart. Hilkach, Ein Zu Halama, that's not considered never knowing. He knew about it. V'yeish Kan Yadir B'Tchila. Uch She'ochal Es HaKodesh, when he ate the Kodesh, Nel Mimenu Negiyah Rishona, he forgot that he touched it. Yeish Kan Yadir B'Tchila V'Halam Achareha. So a guy who went to the yeshiva system, he once read the Pasuk, and that's considered a Yadir. Tosis argues, Tosis Dir Maskel Zil Karbe Ravu, Havi Kemosh Yeish Kan Yadiyah, Shehaya Lo Lishol, he should have asked. Different question. Unclear why he would have asked, but he should have asked. Not that he knew about this ever, but he should have asked the question. Kevan shedavar ze yadu l'tinoko. Since every child knows this, so he should have known enough to ask a question. Aval sheretz, and that's what sheretz the tame b'kadasha. We're about to see the size of the kadasha, the size that the sheretz has to be a kadasha. The besamech ein yadua el tamidim. That's only aware that only tamidim, only people who studied well, know about that. So that we don't expect them to go around asking the question. But about asking a tzardeh versus a sheretz, that's something he should have been expected to ask.
The sheretz looked like the tzardeh, so he didn't know if it was an actual tzardeh, which is tougher. That's what it seems it is.
I don't know if he didn't know what this was, or he didn't know what the halacha was. It sounds like something about halacha.
It seems that he didn't recognize what it was.
Yeah, not from Tosas, it's unclear. Tosas doesn't say
Rashi says, like, Rashi says, like,
no, that's about That's about learning the psukim. But in terms of asking Lishol for within Rashi, within Tosa doesn't say which one. Rashi said you're right. Rashi didn't. He says he didn't know anything any different. But according to Tosa, it's unclear. I'm not sure if it means he didn't know the Allah or didn't know the Metzias. So anyway, Tosas goes further. Im Tomar, typically, diyada bebeis rabo kishlamad ditzav mitame. Didn't he know that this type of thing is tame? Didn't he go to yeshiva? V'yeshlamar b'shlo lamad ela rosh rasha olam nizarim v'loyada beiza. No, he actually didn't know. He didn't learn yeshiva. He just saw people being maspid and staying away from certain types of reptiles. So he was, what's going on here? Since you see that all the time, he should have asked the question. And since he didn't ask the question, so that's his own responsibility. That's zil karbei rav. That's called the yediyah. Meaning a person's responsibility of having to know. Ignorance is not considered a no yediyah. So again, Rashi says he knew it because of school, and Tosfos says he should have known it because he should have asked the question because he saw people are careful in this halacha. Right, Inami Lama below heaven, he learned, but he didn't know. He never saw it. Just reading Psukim in Yeshiva, if you haven't seen a frog versus a lizard, you're not going to know the difference. He never was taken to the zoo. So he just, Lamamish, he didn't know, Lamaisa. So that can't be the case. If the guy didn't know whether it's Sheretz or Tredeya, that's called Zil Kabeira, that's called the Yadiya. So what's the Shaila? What's the question here? What didn't he know? So the Gemara says, Liolam, the Yadda Betuma Sheretz. He knew that this particular animal, this particular reptile was a Sheretz. Ukigon de Noga Bekadasha, Veloyadda Bekadasha, Imatame Ilamatame. The situation where he touched a small part of a tiny little lizard, and it was the size of a lentil. He wasn't sure if that was the right shear to mitame him or not mitame him. My, so what's the shayla? Kevan de yada de mitame sheretz beolam yidei. Since he was aware, then general sheretz is mitame. That's enough of a yidea to make him responsible. El duma kevan de kadasha lo yada imitame lo mitame. Since he didn't know about the shear, that's halami. That's considered never knowing, and he would actually be pater from the olav yored. Teiku. The Gemara says a teiku. We don't know about this shayla. We don't know what the answer is. Teiko means here, Rashi, the Rambam writes, Yirah Li, it appears to me, writes Rambam, that these people are chayva karbon mi suffik. Since even though the Gemara concludes as a suffik, he should still have to bring a karbon. He said, you aren't going to tell me, I'm sorry, other way around, that you don't bring a karbon. Since it's a suffik, you don't bring a karbon, says the Rambam, because there's a chashash of mivin chulin le'azari. You might bring a chulin. If you're not chayva karbon, and it turns out it's a chulin, you're not allowed to bring in shecht a chulin animal in the azar. So he paskins not to. So then Rambam himself asks, but what about, there's a chatas of. A chatas of, the nature of a certain chatas of comes when there's a safik. There's certain karbanos that come when you're a safik, you allow you to bring it. And let's say the guy's not chayv, isn't there chashash of bivin chulin lazara? So he says a chatas of is very different because it's coming because mechusa kippurim. What does that mean, mechusa kippurim? What Rambam ends up saying is, when a person is mechusa kippurim, that means if he's lacking a certain kapara, he can't eat kachim. A person can't eat kachim with certain karbanos. Some karbanos come because I'm chayv chatas. Now, just because I'm chayv chatas doesn't mean I can't eat kachim. That's a different din. If I'm mechal Shabbos, I bring a chatas, but that has nothing to do with me eating kachim. I can still eat kachim. But there are certain karbanos that prevent me from eating kachim. So says the Rambam, when the karban safek comes because I can't eat kachim, so then you're allowed to bring the karban, even though it's a safek, because otherwise I'm stuck forever. But the karban simply coming because the safek, whether I'm chayv or not, but it's not holding me back from accomplishing anything, I can still go about my business. In that case, we're choshesh for bringing chulun lazara. So there's a lot of discussion in that on how to explain it, but that's a simple pshat of the Rambam.
The difference between tumah versus rabbi, we should say yachid is only tumah's mess? Yes.
It wouldn't be no, other tumahs, so all tumahs.
It wouldn't make a difference if you got if you...
It's a good question. It probably would make a difference. This is a different shaila, though. That's a shaila of where the suffix took place. If the suffix took place, it's a suffix in what he knew, not a suffix in what happened. That suffix is...
Meaning, no, it's right. Yeah. It's not where it was.
What Ricky's talking about is a cloud, the suffix tumah b'rishis rabim, we say is tahor. Safik tumah versus yachid, we say is tame. It's based on sota. Sota is the model. Just like if a woman was safik sota in Rishis Rabim, there's no safik. She was in public. If the safik, she was b'stira in Rishis Yachid, we say she's tame until she drinks the me sota. So sota by tumah. But that whole safik is only if you're not sure if you touched tame or not. But here it's not whether you touched or not. We weren't sure of if your yedia was considered enough of a yedia. And that's a different type of safik, I think.
Right.
They asked the question. I didn't look. I didn't see this question asked. I think it's a good question to ask. That's what I would guess would be the answer. I don't see it anywhere addressing.
There's no suffix tome as a vada tome. It's just
suffix on the idea.
Because if it's more than a dasha, then there is suffix.
He didn't know whether
he was definitely tome because there was a kadasha. There was a kadasha.
Oh, it was kadasha.
Suffix is idea.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that the metziut is that
the result is really tame.
Because there's never a suffix if you would know the reality.
No, but the question is not whether he's tame; it's whether he's chayv a carbon or not. Uh-huh. He's definitely tame.
If it's smaller than an adasha, he's still chayv.
He's tower. He's tower then.
He touched something bigger than an adasha. He knows he touched something bigger than an adasha.
Oh, he does know.
Yeah, he's vade tame. So he's vade tame here.
Right.
The question is when he goes into the base of Migdash, at that point when he wasn't aware, does he chayv a carbon all over the yard? So the suffix in carbonal is not a suffix in tuma. Very good. Gamar now says four wide lines down. By Rabbi Yirmiya ben Bavel, Sha'alu le'eretz Yisrael. A person from Bavel went to Eretz Yisrael. V'nelam imenu makom mikdash. He didn't know where the makom mikdash was. So that's nelam mikdash. Is that considered a halama? Is that considered a yadia and a nelam? And then he's chayv a carbon. Mahu aliba deman. Who does this go according to? Iliba the Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah. Did by yadia betchila. He requires yadia in the beginning. But Rabbi Kiva also halam chayv al helam mikdash. He doesn't allow. He only holds of helam tuma, not helam mikdash. So although Rabbi Kiva requires Yediyah in the beginning, he doesn't think Hela Mikdash would result in a Olav Yori. So it can't be within the world of Rabbi Kiva. E Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael de Mechayiv al Hela Mikdash. Rabbi Yishmael at the end of our Mishnah before says you are Chayiv on Hela Mikdash just like you're Chayiv on Hela Tumah. Problem is, Rabbi Yishmael, halo by Yediyah betchila, he doesn't require Yediyah. So even if the Ben Bavel never knew where the Beis Hamikdash was in his lifetime, it would still result in an Olav Yori according to Rabbi Yishmael. So who is this question being asked to, that a person who both requires Yediyah B'tchila and also thinks a Hela Mikdash qualifies as a Halama? So, L'tricha Aliba de Rebbe, this must be Shita Rebbe, to buy Yediyah B'tchila, he requires Yediyah in the beginning, and he's also Mechayiv al Hela Mikdash, he also thinks you're Chayiv if you forget where the Mikdash is. V'amar, Yediyah's base Rabbo, Shema Yediyah. And he holds also that the base Rabbo, that which you learned in Beis Rabbo, in your Rebbe's house, in the Beis Sefer, in the school, is considered Yediyah. So what's the Shaila here? My, Kevan de Yada de Ika Mikdash Baolam Yediyah. He was aware there's a place of the Mikdash. He didn't know where it was. He lived in Bavel. Ben Bavel we're talking about. So he knew there's a Makam of Mikdash, so that's considered Yediyah. Alduma Kevan de Makoma la Yada le Halami. Since he never knew where it was, he never visited Eretz Yisrael before, he has no idea where he was, maybe that's considered Halama, as if he never knew, there was never Yediyah B'tchila, in which case he'd be pata from an Olav Yorid. The Gemara ends off as a teiko. Look at Tosos Ne'ala Mimenu Makom Mikdash Mahu. Lefi Masha Pirish, that according to what Tosos wrote earlier, the Chashiv Yedia Masha Yalilisha. Remember, Tosos says Pshat Yedia is not what you knew, but that you should have asked, you should have inquired. So according to this, shouldn't the Ben Bavel have inquired? So that would be considered Yedia. He knew there's a Beis Hamikdash, so Hayalilisha. When he goes to the Yushalayim, he should have asked, where's the Beis Hamikdash? So Tzarech Lefarish, you have to explain, it's Bizman Hazeh. This whole Shaila is Bizman Hazeh. She'ein Matzoi Lishol Heicha Makamo. Nowadays no one asks where the Beis Hamikdash is, because it's not around. Bizman HaMikdash, then he's responsible. He should have asked the question. Even the Ben Bava would be responsible. But Bizman Hazeh, where no one asks because there's no need to know where the Beis Hamikdash is, it's nowadays. Umikamakom, so then he asks, so it shouldn't be Dafka Ben Bavel. Even if Ben Eretz Yisrael doesn't ask the question, it should also be the same Shaila. So Tosa says, Mikamakom Nukit Ben Bavel, Lefisha B'nai Eretz Yisrael, Margilin Lahaki Yosef, they knew because they lived there. They were just aware of it. It became part of that Masara, so we could assume that they were aware of it. Not because they asked, because it was part of the schooling they went to. But Ben Bavel, who would have no need to ask the question, so is that considered Halama, or is that considered a Yediyah? Okay? We'll stop here.